Sometimes I feel like I'm just walking around with my head up in the clouds. I'm steady moving, but I'm not gaining ground, heading the wrong way in a crowd. Then I remember I'm not part of this world. I'm moving higher each day. Upward mobility sounds mighty good to me. I just can't wait to get away. Got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. I'm not to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. When you are bothered by the problems of life, don't you let them get you down. Just look to Jesus, you will not be denied. He'll move you up to higher ground. Don't you forget you're a child of the King, that you're an heir to his throne. You may not know just when he's coming back again to take us to our happy home. Got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. Got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. Got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. Got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. Amen. Our gospel lesson today is taken from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 16. This can be found on page 191 in your pew Bible. Galatians 6, 7 through 16. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand? It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Let us pause for just one more second as we remember the violence that's in the world and how being in the wrong place at the wrong time or the right place in the right time sometimes is the difference between devastation and death and rescue and safety. People around the world, especially Turkey, Orlando, Florida, and sadly too many places, too numerous to mention, where men and women do destructive and hateful things to other men and women for whatever reason. Lord, heal the insanity of humanity through your love and your grace. Amen. Well, Paul writes in his letter to Galatia, sometimes we think of, you know, like 1 Corinthians and Galatians and things of that nature, that Paul was writing a letter specifically to a church at a particular time, a particular place, in response to a particular challenge. The letter to Galatians, 6 chapters, very short. I urge you to go read it. You might wonder, is Paul happy with these people or angry? Generally, the commentators say this is the letter that's written in white, hot heat. And it's to an area, not just a particular specific city in Turkey, Galatia. Paul is and has been a minister of God, and he's gone to all these places in the world that we look at as the Middle East and think of in ancient terms, but that's the birthplace of Christianity. And Paul, who was the Jew's Jew, Pharisee's Pharisee, had an experience with Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus commissioned him to go and preach the good news. Not that there is any other good news. So Paul did. He went. He preached. He taught. And then he finds out that as he's left there and gone back to other places, that those people that he had breathed into them that gospel, that good news, now have some other group of people come in and tell him, well, not so much. If you want to be a good follower of the way, because they weren't really called Christians then, they were called followers of the way. Even if they were Gentile or Jew, they were followers of the way. If they were followers of Christ Jesus, if they were followers of the good news. And because they were followers of the good news, they were under grace, not under law. Not that the law didn't have relevance, because Jesus says, I come not to usurp the law, I come to fulfill the law. But some of the ceremonial rituals, the Gentiles have been relieved from that. Paul tells them that they don't have to be circumcised, that they don't have to eat certain things. Peter himself has the dream 3 times where these foods that are ceremonial unclean to him, and he's told to eat, and he says, oh no, I can't do that. And the voice tells him, it's not what goes in the mouth that makes you unclean, it's what comes out. So they know they're not under the dietary restriction, and they know they're not under the physical circumcision. And yet, some people come in and tell them again that they have to follow those ceremonial rituals and laws. So Paul comes to them, and this is actually the last chapter, the last part of the book or letter to the Galatians. And he starts off with, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. Anybody think they can pull the wool over God's eyes? Do you think there's any corner of your life that's hidden? Do you think there is anything that you can do? Do you think there's anything you can do that your mom or dad wouldn't know that you did it? Sometimes they just figure it out, right? Somehow. Well, as we grow and we get older, we think we're wiser. And we have parts of our lives that we kind of put off to the side. We put in a knit little piece where nobody else knows what's going on in our lives. Your mom and dad might not know, but God does. Even if your mom and dad don't know, even if grandma doesn't know, even if grandma and grandpa don't know, God knows. And that's as true for us when we're that age as when we're this age. Absolutely. God is not mocked. He's not fooled. The commentators say the translation that he is not fooled or despised. God is God. You know, you and I don't have to accept his power and his omniscience, but it's still there. You and I can say, well, you know, I just don't like that part of him, or I just don't understand that part of him. God is still God. You and I don't get to determine how great God is. You and I don't get to determine how small God is. We can't, okay, God, you only get into this part of my life. The rest of this stuff I've reserved for me. You know, it's like, how is it that people that have wineries and they have, after they've bottled all the wine from a certain crop from a certain year, they might take a certain portion of that, and those are the prime grapes. That makes the best wine. So that's a prime or a select, right? God is in every piece of our life, whether we realize it or not. Now, we can certainly keep him at arm's length. We can run from him. How'd that work for Jonah? We can run from him, but his will ultimately will be fulfilled, whether it's in your life or the life of those around you. Oh, and here's where it hits true. You reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you'll reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. You ever hear, you get what you give? It will return to you. Whatever you reap, you sow. Is it going to be flesh and corruption? Or is it going to be Spirit and eternal life? We choose. We can allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and transform us. Or we can sit in our little sandbox and do what we want to do. Wine, women, and song. I like that. I like the fast cars. I like the big house. I like the nice big boat. There's nothing wrong with a nice boat. Nor is there anything wrong with a fast car. Nor is there anything wrong with a nice house. But when we pursue them, those objects, above and over any other aspect of our lives, we're buying into the flesh. And we will reap from what we've sown. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at the harvest time if we do not give up. In verse 9, he's saying, do not let us grow weary in doing what is right. Well, how do you know what's right? What does Scripture tell us? That's what's right. Wesley looked at, He looked first at Scripture. What does Scripture tell us? Then the second was, what is our Christian tradition? What does that tradition teach us throughout the ages? The other piece, because that's the experience of Christians who've gone before, who've been touched and lived lives and grown and had revealed to them. How many of us would be the Christians that we are had we never had the experience of reading the letters that Paul wrote? Paul wrote those letters from his experience with churches. Peter, the same thing. Romans, the same thing. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are people writing of their experiences with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, and with God the Father. We are to do what is right. We're to not only do what is right, but not grow weary. We're supposed to, you know what, when we're tired and this is the right thing to do, and that again. Terry, don't chime in yet. Moment of weakness. Too many times. I'm like, oh, do I have to do that? And he said, if you go, I want all of you, not just some. And here I am. For we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. He's calling us to persevere. He's not saying that because you're following me, things are going to be peachy keen. We're not talking prosperity gospel. Yes, as you do what God tells you to, yes, you may be rewarded. But talk to the Christians in Turkey. Talk to the Christians in the Middle East who, because of their Christianity, because of their spiritual belief in Christ Jesus, they're being persecuted. Not just persecuted, but killed. Not just being killed, but they're being raped. They're being sold into slavery. You think you got it tough here? They're not getting fair treatment, but they will receive that eternal reward because they remain faithful. Just like the Christians in that first century church. You don't think, where did we get the term martyr? Where did we get the term martyr? It was those who would not change their spiritual belief even at the pain of death. That's how strong that early Christian church was, and that's why we have the Christian church that we have today. Because of our grandparents, because of your grandparents, for our grandchildren, and those to come. Persevere. Do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith. You know, Saturday, awesome day, doing good work. But you know, we're to do it for all. And some will use this scripture and say, oh yeah, but we're supposed to do it especially for those of the family of faith. So we're supposed to focus especially on the Christians at the expense of everybody else. No. It says all, but even more so, we should be looking at our brothers and sisters in Christ. And do you know what they're going through? Do you know what turmoil they're going through? Have them in your prayers. Have them in your thoughts. Call them. Write them a letter. Text them. Email them. Whatever. But don't forget them. And then as this letter continues, we get the idea that Paul is writing this very personally because he says, see what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand? Evidently, the original copies, the originals, letters that Paul wrote, he wrote himself. And he wrote very large, very bold, so that no one would, what is that that he said? I mean, he got the point across. It is those who want to make good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. He's saying that those people that are challenging him with the understanding of the circumcision, they want them to be circumcised for their own reasons, not because God commands it. Not that it's going to make them a better Christian or a better faith person if they're circumcised, because it's circumcision of the flesh. Paul says again and again, it's circumcision of the heart. It's that faith in God. That's what we need. That's what God wants. He says, even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law. Can anyone obey the law? Look at Genesis. Read the Ten Commandments. Look at Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Can anybody follow every precept and every iota of all the law? My hand's not going up. None of us can. So if we think we're going to gain entry into the kingdom of God by our own power, by our own righteousness, ain't happening. Because if that were possible, then why in the world did God send Jesus Christ to die on a cross so you and I could get there? Only because it's by His blood, His flesh, His body given, His blood shed, that you and I have the opportunity to stand before in the presence of God. Because were it not so, we wouldn't even be in His presence. We wouldn't be able to be in His presence. So whether they were circumcised or uncircumcised, they're not able to fulfill the law. It's faith, not works. We're saved by faith. Faith in whom? Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in what? Faith in Christ's sacrifice, His blood, His body. He's the expiation. His sacrifice is the expiation, the full and complete payment for our sin debt. Jesus doesn't overthrow the Old Testament. The wages of sin is death. If we're living in sin, we'll reap the corruption of flesh. It's because we have faith in Christ Jesus. It's because we take that leap of faith that we live in the Spirit, because we allow the Holy Spirit to come in us and transform us and change us into something that's more wonderful than we could even comprehend. And it's by that Spirit that we have eternal life. Not by any work of the law, even if we could fulfill it all, which we can't. Paul says, "May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything." In Revelation chapter 20, what are we looking for? What are we hoping for? In Hebrews, faith is the hope for things not yet seen. What is it that we want to see in those days from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when the trumpet sounds and the clouds part and Jesus descends and the graves give up the dead and we all rise together and meet Him together? All. Nobody's left out. How many of you believe that? Come on. Hallelujah. All of us should believe it. Okay. Getting ready to throw the hymnals at me. Of course we believe it. But that is that rock-like faith. That is what we have to have. Do we see it right now? You look out there and see what's happening in the world. And my goodness, we're going to you know where in a handbasket. It's not even a handbasket. We're going in a 10-ton truck. Dump truck. We're all headed down. All you have to do is read any of the social media. Look at any of the news. Turn a TV on. And you might give in to despair. Where is this world going? Well, I'll tell you. The world's going the same place the world has always been going. If it's of the flesh, it's going to be corrupted. And that's where sin enters in. You and I are called to be of the Spirit. For those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy upon Israel of God. This is what we strive for. We want to be in the presence of God. Christ has already paid the debt. Christ has already opened the door for us to come in. Christ has already prepared a place for us. In John, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms, mansions, whatever, and I go to prepare a place for you. Were it not so, I would tell you." Why would Jesus make that promise to him if he wasn't, in fact, doing it?
We can have faith in Christ Jesus. We can have hope that His works are what we needed. Not a circumcision of our own body, not whether or not we can obey the Ten Commandments, though we're called to do it as best we can. Thou shalt not murder, not take the Lord's name in vain. How many of us have gotten through life and never taken the Lord's name in vain? Okay, sweetheart. You're one. 30 years as a sailor, and I'm not blaming the sailors, but even that would mean I couldn't stand in the presence of God. If it were by adherence to the law that I would have that place. It's not. It's because Christ loves us. It's because Christ paid the debt. It's because of that body given, that blood shed. It's because of what Christ has done, not what I have done. It is left to me to have faith in Christ Jesus and Him crucified, died, buried, who rose again, and He is coming back. Hallelujah. Amen.